Today's daf is daf kuf dalet. So we'll take it from the bottom of kuf gimel and beis, two lines up, the word Tanya, Tanya Rebbe. So the Gemara says, Tanya Rebbe mutal b'tzipori. The Rebbe, when he was sick, Rashi says, last Rashi, Rebbe mutal b'chelyo, when he was sick, b'tzipori umakam kvaru muchal lo b'beis sharim. So he was sick in Tzipori, which is one location, but his kever was already prepared for him in Beis Sharm, a different location. I don't know the difference between the two, the distance rather between the two. So again, the Gemara says, Tani Rebbe Mutal B'Tzipori, Umakam Muchan Lo B'Beis Sharm, kever was prepared for him in Beis Sharm. But doesn't the Brisa say, Tzedek Tzedek Tirdof, Holoch Acha Rebbe L'Beis Sharm? So that Brisa says, Darshan in the Pasuk, that one should chase after Rebbe. Rebbe was found after Beis Sharm. People should go to Beis Sharm. So Rebbe lived in Beis Sharm. He didn't live in Tzipori. So why does the Brisa initially say he lived in Tzipori? He really lived in Beis Sharm.
That's what the Pasuk means.
No, it doesn't mean that. No, but the Pasuk means chase after a Tzaddik or a Tzedek. Happened to be the time of the Brisa, Rebbe was the Tzaddik. He was the Tzedek. So chase after him who happened to be in Beis Sharm. So he lived in Beis Sharm, and he was going to be buried in Beis Sharm. So what in the world was he doing in Tzipori when he was sick? So Gemara explains, Ela kevin dechalosh amtui li Tzipori. Since he got sick, they brought him to Tzipori to get better. Why? Dimarle uvasis aviri. Basim aviri, rather. Rashi explains, top line, Dimarle damrinu v'maseches megillah lama nikra shema Tzipori. Why was it called Tzipori? Why was the name of the place? Shioshevis barosh ahar ki Tzipori. It sat on top of the mountain like a bird sits on top of the mountain. And apparently the air, the avira, the air was good for him to heal. And he ended up not healing from the sickness, but they thought it would make him better. Maybe it prolonged his life a little bit longer. So he brought him to Tzipori.
I heard like 100 years ago, they used to send people to the mountains, had like tuberculosis. It was a way of healing people.
Interesting.
Whatever had a lung problem, they send them up in the mountains.
Right. And now, if you send them too high up and people can't breathe properly, you send them to Colorado, so they're not going in Denver, they're not going to have to breathe so well. I have a friend of mine who actually went skiing in Colorado once, and he started going up, climbing up, and he couldn't breathe anymore. He had to go to the hospital, and he missed 3 days of skiing because the air sometimes is too light. You have to acclimate yourself to it. Okay. The Gemara now on the top of Kuf Dalam Allah says, Hahu Yoma, that day, Denoch Nafshe the Rebbe. The day that Rebbe ultimately died, we've been talking about David up until now, Rebbe had died and all the build up until his death. So finally, it was the day that he died, and everyone knew it was the day he was going to die. So Gazer Rabbanan Tanisa, the Chachamim were Gozer, Tainis Ubar Achme, and they daven to Hashem. So he didn't die yet, but it was really close to death. And they said anybody who says that he's going to die, that yidaker becherev, they should be cut, sliced with a sword. And slika amse de rebbe, fine. So slika amse de rebbe ligra. So the amse, the famous, well-known shivcha of Rebbe, we learn a number of halachas from her actually. So she goes, she ascends to the roof. To attend to Rebbe, I guess. Amr El Yonim, so maybe she goes up to Davin. Amr El Yonim of Akshin es Rebbe, Vatachton of Akshin es Rebbe. There's a fight here. In Shemayim, they want Rebbe. And in the bottom here, the Chachamim want Rebbe also. There's a fight between the two. He Ratzon Sheachofu Atachton El Yonim. Let it be that the Tachtonim are able to overcome the El Yonim. So that's what she Davin for. But Kevan de Chazi Kamezimne Daila Besakise Vacholitz Tfilin Amarachalhu. But then she saw Rebbe going in and out of the bathroom, taking off his tefillin, going to the bathroom, coming out, putting his tefillin back on. Back and forth, he had some stomach pains and stomach aches. So then she said, Amra yiratzon sheyachofu el yonim es tachtonim. Now I let it be that the el yonim are able to overcome the tachtonim because I see my master in such pain. Right, so Rashi just says he was a choli ma'ayim havale. He had a big stomach problem. And then we saw in yesterday's off the end, someone who dies from choli ma'ayim, that was the typical death, at least that happened at the end of death, to tzaddikim. So Rashi, rather, look at top Tosus for a moment. Tosus writes, Manach tefillin, he'd be putting on tefillin, off tefillin. V'yafagav decholi shemayim p'tur mina tefillin, the Gemara tells us. The person who has a stomachache shouldn't put tefillin on. As hard as that might be for somebody, you're not supposed to put tefillin on if you have a stomachache. L'fi she'en yicholim li'zohar itev, you can't probably be careful. Rebbe was in a different level, different league. He was able to watch over himself and wear tefillin properly. So anyway, so Rebbe's shivcha had davened for this, that he died, that the El Yonim beat out the Tachtonim. But still, the Chachamim, even though she was in, he was in such tsar, the Chachamim didn't stop from davening.
It's his mother, not Shifra.
Oh, yeah, I thought.
No, Amato, not Imato. I also thought that first, yeah, as soon as I read it. Yeah. And then I thought about it.
Right. So it's still nonetheless. Well, a Shifcha Kananis, if she was a Shifcha Kananis, she's Jewish, partially Jewish, like an Eved Kanani, if it's owned by a Jew. So, and even not, who said a non-Jew can't daven? So anyways, even though the Rebbe is going through such tsar, and his shifcha, a daven that the Yonim beat out the Tachtonim, the Rabbanim didn't cease to daven. They still daven, they wanted Rebbe very, very badly to stay. So what happened? Shukla Kuza, she took what, a stick, I think?
Small earthenware vessel.
A little vessel, and shazdiya mea igra, and she threw it from the rooftop, la'ara, down to the ground, and it made obviously a loud noise. Ishtaku merachme, the chum stopped. They heard a noise, didn't know what that explosion was. But noch nafshei the Rebbe, and then since they stopped davening, Rebbe died. So amrilei rabbanon lebar kapara zil ayin. So they said to Bar Kapara, I'm not sure why they chose him. They said to Bar Kapara, go investigate, research what exactly just happened. I guess he wanted to say who caused this to happen, or go check what Rebbe's status is. They realized they stopped davening, so they said, "Let's check on Rebbe." With that, so what happens? So Azil, he goes and Ashkei Denach Nafshe. So it turned out Rebbe had been nifter, and Kari Lelevushe, and they, or Rabbi Kapar, tore his clothing. V'hadre Lekar Lacharen, turned his shirt around. The tear was on the back. Pasach Vamar, and he said the following: Arelim umitzukim ochzu barakodesh nitzcha. So the Arelim, referring to the angels, umitzukim, I guess, are referring to the men.
Tzadikim,
okay. Ochzu barakodesh, both holding on to the Aron Kodesh. In this case, is Rebbe. Nitzchu Arelim, the Malachim had defeated as umitzukim, the tzadikim. The nishba Aron Kodesh, and the Aron Kodesh, I guess, was held in captivity, was taken away. So Amulei, they said to him, Nach Nafshe. I think they asked him, right? So did he die? Amalu Asun Karmisa Vanalo Kamina. You said it, not me. He didn't want to be the member. What happened was their bun and made a gzer initially. Anyone who says this, their eye, they're gonna be cut. I didn't say it. Bishas Ptirasa Sharebi's
spirit says that when he asked him to check is because since they stopped, they didn't have a chazaka, they were still alive, so they couldn't go on davening, so they had before they continued.
They have to find that Chila Shav, right?
Something that, so.
If something happened already,
right?
Okay, interesting. So, b'shas p'tirasa sherebi, the moment of his death, zakov eser etzbaos of klabi mala. He had raised his 10 fingers up to Shemaim. That's what that, I guess that was the that was how he was. Let's see. Yeah, his fingers were upward. I guess right before he died, maybe, and. Amar, he said, Rebbe said, Ribono Shalom, Golav Yadul Fanecha, it's clear to you, Shegati Be'eset Bo'os, I was toiling with my 10 fingers, Betorah, Lo Nanesi Afil Be'etz Bo'Katana, I didn't get Hana even from my small pinky finger, he Ratzon Be'Fanecha, Shehe Shalom Be'Nuchasi, there should be peace in my rest, Yotz, fine. So what does that mean, Yotz Be'Nuchasi, as he should die, I guess he wants to be placed in the kever, it says here. So what happened? Yot Sabasko came a heavenly voice and says, Amara, Yevo Shalom Yanucha Amishkavosim. There should be peace in the resting of the burial of Rebbe.
When it says Bat Kol, what would that exactly mean? Meaning, everybody heard it, or?
It's good. Like, I'm not sure if I don't know if everybody heard it or not. It says Pascal. There's only one case that comes to mind where one person heard it and another person didn't hear. That's the story we discussed in Gemara in Ksubas, which is really more prominently in the Gemara in Tainus about Rabbi Yochanan and Ilfa. Yeah. They're sitting down and they heard a little voice. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Did you hear that, Ilfa?" Ilfa says, "No." Yochanan said, "It must be that now's a good time for me." He went to learn. Ilfa went to do some business. Other than that, Pascal doesn't seem that it was limited to just individuals. It sounded like it was this, you know, global heavenly voice that came out. So Gemara says now, Mibaile Mesaile Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda. So what's it saying here? Let's skip the line here. Al Mishkavcha, it says. The pasuk says Al Mishkavcha. So the that Paschal says the word al-mishkavcha mibarle, it should have said al-mishkavcha, like the Pasuk says. So why does it say al-mishkav, well, some, in the plural, is it only one individual that we're referring to, Rebbe, that is. So Messiah Le, the Rebbe Chiyah, Bar Gamda, this supports what he said. What did he say? Dam Rebbe Chiyah Bar Gamda, Am Rebbe Yossi Ben Shal, B'shasha Tzadik Niftim in Olam. The moment, the time that a Tzadik dies, Omer Malachi Asharis Levinei HaKadosh Baruch, the Malachim say to Hashem, Yibonu Sholem Tzadik Ploni Ba, so until Tzadik, in this case Rebbe, the Tzadik is coming. Amr Lehem, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the Malachim Yavo Tzadikim V'yatsu L'Kraso. Tell the other Tzadikim to come out from wherever they are, and to come greet this tzaddik. And they should say to him, Yavo b'shalom yanucha mishkavosam. So come in peace, and they will rest on their beds. So this first two Rashi says, you see Rashi three narrow lines down, Yavo tzaddikim v'yatu l'krasu v'yavo b'shalom, v'achar kach yanuchu tzaddikim amishkavosam. It's referring to the tzaddikim who came to greet Rebbe. After they greet him, they go back to their own mishkavosam, back to their kevers, where they're buried. So that's why it says that the Paschal said, Yavo b'shalom v'yanuchu al mishkavosam. So Amar Rebbe, Rebbe says, just one interesting thing here. I was looking at Tosos for a second. See, Tosos, Dibra Maschal, Lov, Nehaneti, Afilu Be'etzba Ketana. So that Tosfos, first look at what Rashi says. Rashi says right across the way, this is one narrow line down. V'lo Nehaneti, Rebbe says, I didn't hana, even for one pinky, Bom Hazeh, Afilu Lefi Toreach Sheigati Be'etzba Ketana Shadeh. I didn't have any hana at all from Om Hazeh. Tosas writes, Lo Nenesi Afil Betz Bakatana, Damina Bemejish, Ad Sheoldum Ispalad, Sheikanis Torah, Lutok Gufo, Ispal Shlo Ikantu, Madonim Lutok Gufo, Umaisi Ha'uvda the Rebbe. So apparently the Medjish brings this statement of Rebbe that until a person davens that he should have Torah enter his body, he should also daven before that no Madonim, no sweets should enter his body either. And Rebbe is the prime example of such an individual who davened for Torah to enter his body, not Hanah to enter his body.
Well, if you don't eat sweets, then they don't enter your body.
Right, no. So, right. I guess the problem...
It's a good solution not to daven for that.
I guess it's daven for the taiva, not to eat the madonna. So the Gemara says, Amar Rebbe Elazar, B'shash HaTzadik Nuftim in Olam, the time that Tzadik passes on, Shalosh Kito Shemalachi Asharis Yotzis L'Krasu. There are three groups of Malachim who come to greet him. Achas Omeris Lo, one group says to the Tzaddik, Ba B'Shalom, come in peace. Achas Omeris, another group says to him, Holich Nichcho, and this is quoting a pasuk that appears in Yeshaya, that says, Go Nichcho, go to that direction or something, how do they interpret it? B'derech Yishara, Rashi says.
Yavo B'Shalom, Zeshe Yavlech B'derech Yishara.
Right, okay, so Holich Nichcho, I mean, going to go in a straight path. Okay, I'm not sure what this means.
Meaning that come in peace. It means on the past, you went on a derech.
Meaning, that you had gone on a derech yishara. Okay, they're letting him know that you walked on a derech yishara. Okay. V'achas Omer, so the third party says, Yavo shalom yanucha mishkavosam. That's the last we heard the Baskol saying. In contrast to that, B'shash ha-rasha nevad min ha-olam, when a rasha is destroyed, very different language, and niftar, destroyed from the world, shalosh kitos shamalche chavala yotis l'kasa. There are three angels of the bad side who come out to greet them, and they say, Achas Omeris Ein Shalom, there is no peace. Amar Hashem Rishayim, there is no peace, Hashem says, no peace to the Rishayim. Achas, the second group, says, Achas Omeris Lo, L'matseva Yishkov, what, in sadness, in depression, you're going to rest?
It's not nice.
Something not nice, okay? Yeah. And number three is Achas Omeris Lo, and the final group says to the Rasha, Rada Vishkiva Es Arelim. Rada is to go down and sleep, lay down with the Arelim, the Goyim, or those who didn't receive a Bris Mila. Okay, so this is what goes on at death for the Tzaddik versus the Rasha. That ends our Gat as we start the new Mishnah. Okay, interesting. I'm sure there's a lot of depth here as to what's going on. But it's beyond my understanding. Mishnah says now, Kol Zman she beveis avia. So long as she is in a beis avia, who's she? So referring to an almana, I would imagine, right? So almana, as long as almana is in the house of her father after she's become widowed, gova ksuba salil, she's allowed to collect her ksuba and whenever she wants. If she hasn't collected it yet, she has to whatever time she has, as long as she's living in the house of her father. But if she's still staying in there, her husband's house, after her husband passes away, she stays in that house, then she has a 25-year term to collect it. If she doesn't collect it after 25 years, she loses out on collecting her ksuba. So what does that mean? What's this svara here?
Because she does favors, and that goes on her account, not on their account.
What's interesting, though, is if that's the case, all the favors she's doing for the neighbors, so we don't say, let's say after 24 years, she should get only $10 of the ksuba as opposed to $200. We don't take off from that amount as the years go on.
So she can do favors till one day before
and collect, exactly. Collect right.
Say it again.
If we're saying after 25 years, why did she lose out her ksuba? Because she's right. She's doing all these favors for her neighbors. So after 25 years of doing favors with the Yisomim's property, she's basically She used up her ksuba payment by doing these favors, giving out food and salt and bread to the neighbors. Okay. That was her $250 or $200, whatever her ksuba is. So I'm pointing out. So let's say she decided to collect the ksuba after 24 years. Shouldn't you say maybe she did all those favors for 24 years, she should only get $10, whatever, you should have it deducted, exactly. And for some reason we don't say that. It's either all or nothing. You have 25 years to collect the full amount.
But what is the cheshbon? It doesn't seem that...
Yeah, I don't know the cheshbon either.
But time money equal to 25 years of... How can you make that?
Yeah, I'm not sure the cheshbon either. I don't know. There's nothing really explaining that cheshbon. But that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir, quoting from Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. But then the Chacham Omrim.
And why, bisman she bevet Aviyah, her whole life, meaning she can live free.
Because you know, in a base Aviyah, she's not using her Yisomim's property. She's on her father's house.
Yeah, but we're talking about money anyway.
No, but base Abayla, when she's in her husband's house, she's with her children. So then she's using the property of the Yisomim to help the neighbors out. She's taking away
their money.
Right, but if she's in base Aviha, right.
And with her bet Aviha, she doesn't eat based on her.
No, she's all on her father's taking care of her. She's not using the Yisomim's property. Then the Mishnah quotes the opinion of the Chachamim. The Chachamim Omrim calls man shehi bebeis baila. Whenever she's in her husband's house, gova ksubasa liolam, she's allowed to collect forever, actually. In contrast to calls man shehi bebeis Aviha, if she's in her father's house, then gova ksubasa ades in mechamei sharim. It's the opposite. She only can collect for 25 years in the base Aviya. So Rashi explains the difference here. See Rashi, Chachamim Omrim, it's higher up, around eight and a half lines down. Rashi explained, Chachamim Omrim, lo hus karu esim mechamish linyan hatova shetase. The 25 years, according to the Chacham, are not mentioned with respect to her, the favor she did for her neighbors. V'lo af sedu rabbanu ksubasa. And the Chacham didn't cause her to lose any money for the favors doing. The 25 years I mentioned in Amechila with respect to her being mochel and the Oda Ksuba, who's Karo. The whole Vishaska, since she was so quiet for so long, she was basically mochel in the Ksuba by her not collecting it in 25 years. Hilkach Kozman, she be baila, as long as she's in her husband's house, Ein Shtikasa Mechila. Her quiet is not serving as a Mechila. Since they're honoring her and showing her a lot of disrespect, she's embarrassed to say no and to refuse the ksuba.
It's probably her mother too.
So I don't get this far. Why is she embarrassed to say she's mochel in front of her if she's living in the base by Baalaha?
No, I think she's embarrassed to collect it, maybe. What does it say?
She's embarrassed to be mochel, Rashi says.
Because
they show respect, so she doesn't want to take the money.
She's shy to ask for the ksuba.
Yeah, so that's different than Rashi. That's a different pshat.
No, this is Rashi. They always forgot. I think we're misunderstanding Rashi. Because our scroll on the Pashup Shat always follows Rashi.
Unless Rashi has a wild shot.
Let me see. No. This is, has to be Rashi. Because
it is Rashi.
Yeah.
But maybe there's another one.
May I misread it then? Okay.
That's what you read. I think we misunderstood Rashi.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if she's living in the house, so since she's too embarrassed to ask for it, so then in Mimela she won't be mochel on it either. She really wants the money, so...
No, the opposite. She's, you know, because they're taking care of her, so she's shy to ask for the
Right, that's what I said. So since she won't ask for it, you can't say her silence is going to be mechila either.
Yeah.
She really wanted to, but she was embarrassed. So, your silence for 25 years. That's only because I was embarrassed to ask for it, but I really wanted the money. But if she's living in the Beis Avir where she doesn't have any... doesn't need to have a karsa tov for the Yisomim, so by her never... She could have asked for it. She wouldn't be embarrassed to ask for it. They weren't showing her any kavod. The fact that she didn't ask for it in 25 years while staying in the Beis Avir, that's a mechila. So that's machlokas, Chachamim versus Reb Meir. Is it 25 years because of mechila, or it's because it's deducted from all the favors that she did for the neighbors? And what comes out is the opposite approach, Beis Avir versus Beis Baaleha. Then the Mishnah says, Mesa, if she dies, Yorsha mazkirin ksuvasa adesim v'chameshanim. The ones who are going to be Yorushur and Yorushik Suba have 25 years, regardless of where they are. They have 25 years, I assume, from death to collect it. Whether it's from death or whether it's from...
From her father's, from the husband's death or from her death.
Uh-huh.
According to Rashi, is from her death, and some people say from the husband's death.
Uh-huh.
What that means?
They mention...
They collect.
They collect. I thought they collect. I'm not sure why the language maskin is being used, though.
I think it's that they have to constantly...
To restart the clock, you have to mention it. We want to assume, by the way, 25 years starts over again. No, that's what it's referring to. Let's say the Yisomim are not her children. Let's say someone else is being Yorisher. She married a man, and the man had other children.
Fine.
The husband dies, so now the Yisomim, her stepchildren, mm-hmm. but her children from another marriage or a sibling is going to be the Yorish against her these stepchildren. Yeah, the Gemara says now Amar Leah Abaye Le Rav Yosef, Aniyeh should be Yisrael ad esim v'chameshanim, someone who's poor has 25 years to collect her ksuva, and Umarta bars baitus ad esim v'chameshanim.
It's an exclamation.
Right, so it says that a person who's poor has 25 years, and somebody who's so wealthy, like Marta Bas Baitus, also has 25 years, that they should be the same in the 25-year limit. So Rashi explains, Aniya should be Yisrael, she ksuba simuata. She received a small portion as her ksuba. Ivda l'Rebbe Meir, betova she'osu b'chafei shanam. All the favors she does for her ksuba is basically, I think, what David's question is. So that loses 25 years. But Marta Bas Baitis, who has a tremendous amount of ksuba, so 25 years, how is it possible that the same cheshbon is going to work? But Marta might have $1,000 ksuba, and the poor person has $200. So if they're doing the same favors, it's obviously not going to amount to the same thing. Right, so that's probably what it's going to be. So let's see what the Gemara answers. Samar Lei, Lefum Gamla, Shichna. I'm not sure exactly the phrase here, but according to the bridge is the weight or something. Right. According to the camel is the weight it could handle. So the richer you are, the more favors you're willing to do. So everything is proportional. What did it about Tishalish? Rashi explains, Mahu she Tishalish, the mayor at the time of Mishim Tova. She Tishalish, she Nechshov, Tovasa, the Cheshman Ksubasa, the Fi Cheshman Hashanim, Lahafsi, the Choshana. Exactly. Are you going to deduct per year? You do 1 year, so maybe it's going to drop from $200 to $190. You lose $10 per year or so. Gemara says, Teku, we don't know.
Wait 1 second. So when you say Teku, Hamatsume, Havaraya, so she cannot take. Which one is whom? Well, how do we consider it?
I mean, once you have a teku, how do we
consider that she's taking money out of them, or they're taking money, that the status that the ksuva is hers, and they're taking it out of him?
It's a good question. Lamaisa, what do we do? I think more of us have an answer, so we have to figure out an answer, though.
Perfect.
I don't know, what does it say here? It doesn't say anything down here. I don't know. The Gemara says, Chachamim Omrim calls man. So Chachamim argued and said, no, as long as she's in the house of the husband, she collects forever because she's too embarrassed to ask for the ksuba, so the memela she won't, it's not considered a mechila. So Amalei Abayli of Yosef, Asai, Kodem Shkiasachama, Gova Ksubasa, Lacha Shkiasachama, Logavia. So this is talking about maybe what you're saying, that if she asks for the money before Shkia, the last day, it's referring to the last day, I imagine here.
Yeah.
So then she collects the full ksuba. But the very next day, after Shkia, she waits just a few minutes and she doesn't collect the ksuba.
That's
a question. So this is a question that Rabbi Yirmi, actually a similar question Rabbi Yirmi asked in Baba Basra, he got kicked out of the base medrash for. So the Gemara says, Bahi porta achilse, and that small moment, she was suddenly mochel. Samarlein, yes. Kol midas chachamim kain hi barbam sa tovel barbam sa chaser kurdav eni yachal etzvabahem. Yes. A mikvah is defined by 40 sa. 40 sa minus a drop is not considered a mikvah anymore. Yes. This 25 years, minus 2 minutes is considered 25 years. 25 years plus a minute is no longer considered in the 25 years. That's how measurements work. There has to be a draw line life. Somewhere. That's life. You need to draw a line somewhere. We live in a finite world and we are finite people. They have to be definitions and measurements. Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Heid Rabbi Yishmal, Rabbi Yosi, Lefnei Rabbi." Made the following testimony in front of Rabbi. Sha'amar Mishum Aviv. So, Rabbi Yishmal heard from Rabbi Yosi, his father. He told Rabbi the following: "Lo shanu eloshein shtar ksuva yatsim mitachas yodeh." This is only true if there is no ksuba that comes out from her hand. If she presents the ksuba, gova ksuba saliyolim. Everyone would agree, whether it be Rabbi Meir or whether it be Chachamim. Base avia, base bale, whichever direction you learn, if you have the ksuba, she has the right to collect whenever she wants.
So what's exactly the difference that she goes?
If she doesn't have a ksuba anymore, and there's no receipts, let's say, or edim that she ever received the ksuba in the past, so she has 25 years to collect the ksuba according to the Mishnah, whether that be base bale according to Rabbi Meir or base avia according to Chachamim.
Okay.
But this says if she does have the ksuba though. According to all opinions, she could always show the ksuba like any other star and collect it forever.
But we said that there are places who, there are mekomos that they write ksuba and they don't write ksuba.
Right, so this must be, they sound like it's talking about a case where they do write a ksuba.
In a place where they write ksubas.
Our mission
so
only talking about.
The question is in place, they don't write ksuba, she has only 25
years. I would imagine so.
Okay.
I would imagine.
Right.
So that's all according to the first opinion. Then Rabbi Elazar Amar, Afila Shtar Ksuba, Yotze Metachas Yodea, Eino Gove Ela Ad Esim V'chamei Shomen. No, even a situation where she has a Ksuba, there's a 25-year limit. If you have not collected within 25 years, the Ksuba is expired. And Rashi doesn't really tell us any explanation for this.
Rabbi Elazar Sover, She 25 Shanim Shal Shtika Mehavot Hochacha Gdola Yoter Me'asher Hachat.
Which is fascinating. That the mechia is going to be stronger than the chazaka of a ksuba not being collected yet.
The shtika is stronger than the
Okay, the Gemara says now, asks the following question. Meisiv Rav Sheshes asks, Balchov gove shlo bahaskara, a Balchov. A collector is able to collect without a hazkara. What does hazkara mean? Rashi says, "Shelo bahazkara im shasak esn v'chameishanim v'lo micha alchovo loves bekach." The bank decides not to collect the money for many, many years, and they decided finally to wake up and they want to collect after the debt. We don't say, "Oh, it's too late now. You're a mochel." They could collect whenever they want. They have a shtar that says, "You owe me money." Heichidami, what's the case that Rav Sheshes is referring to? Idul naket shtar. If the bank has no shtar, b'may gavhe. Well, what gives them the raya? They need proof to collect. So obviously, they're not get shtar. They're talking about holding a shtar that you owe us money. Ubalchov hu dilav barachulahu. Only a balchov, only a bank is not someone who's going to be mochel in the hundreds of thousands of dollars that they're owed, the millions of dollars that they're owed. They're not going to be mochel. Almana achil sehubar. An almana would be willing to be mochel. Why? What's the difference between almana and a balchov?
So this is a question.
We want to know: is it really true? That Amana would be mochel, even though she has a star, would she really be mochel?
Meaning we're saying Ebalchov, it never expires.
Correct.
Why should an Amana be expired?
No, Gemara is being like that only Ebalchov would be mochel. I would not be mochel, rather. But Amana, as we'll see in Rashi in a moment, Amana would be mochel after 25 years. Right, and we're going to say, how could the first opinion say that she'll never be mochel?
What did Rav say? Rav said that.
Rav says that a woman, Amana, would be mochel after 25 years. So
so this goes against Rav.
No, this supports Rav, that this goes against Rav Sheshes, who says she could collect Not Rav Shaila. This goes against Rav Blaz, who says she could collect forever.
According to...
No, I'm sorry, other way around. I apologize.
To Rav Artsbo, it's
right. I'm sorry. Rav says she would not be mocha. Rav says she would not be mocha after 25 years. If she has a ksuba, she could collect forever. So here we say that she wouldn't. After time, after 25 years, she would be mocha. But why would she be mocha? Why is she any different than a bank? So look at Rashi. Rashi says around 10 lines up from the bottom, Almanak bas achulihi, shenenes mehen kolashanam halalu. She got a lot of hana, a lot of benefits from living with Yisomim. Uksuvasa eno malvev lo chitzer bamamam. Listen, she never borrowed money in the first place from her husband. And she didn't cause anybody, she's not losing any money. And she's only going to cause the Yisomim a loss by collecting from them. So she had a lot of akaras to store for them. She'll be willing to be mocha after 25 years. But a bank wouldn't be mocha, of course. The bank lent money.
The bank actually took out money from the pocket.
Right. So, but we see from here that after 25 years, she'll be mochel. Against Rav, who says, no, if she has the ksuba, she has the right, and most probably will collect the ksuba, she is not mochel. So, who mosiv lav, who mefarkla? Not only did Rav Sheshes ask the question, but he also answered the question, and says, liolam delo nakit shtar. We're actually talking about a case where there was no shtar. So how in the world was the bank able to collect if they have no shtar? When the borrower admitted that he owed money to the bank, he said, you're right, I took out a loan and I owe you money. That's why the bank is going to collect. And you can't bring any rise here to the case of where Almana still holds on to the ksuba that she's going to be necessarily be mocha.
But the second reason, don't we say that the shtar, is kigavui dame? Well, it's machlokas, right? I don't know.
I think we normally assume it is kagavu dami, and therefore what?
And therefore it's like she would have money in her pocket, meaning she lost money. The fact that she has a star is like she really has the money.
Interesting, the ksuba is as issue.
Or maybe, I don't know.
I'm not sure if we would consider that being in terms of a hefsed, though.
If she has it, it means that she's losing it. By
it's not, but whatever. She doesn't have access to it.
Right.
It's considered as if it's collected in regards to other halachas. Gemara says, "V'hama Rabbi Allah," but doesn't Rabbi Allah tell us, "Shonim grusha harehi kibalchov"? So Rashi says, "Shonim" refers to Bali Brisa, the authors of the Brisa, the ones who taught the Brisa, also taught next Rashi, "Grusha harehi kibalchov l'gavos li'olam below shelo baskara devadei lo machla." One who gets divorced would never be mochel to her ex-husband. That the ex-husband, oh, it's okay, don't pay me the ksuba. She would never do that. So Gemara says, what's the case here of Rabbi Allah? If the grusha has no ksuba, what does she have? She has no rights to collect. She has no proof. And not is it not talking a case where she does have a ksuba? And dafka grusha hidala basachli. Only a divorcee won't be mochel on the ksuba that she's owed by her ex. Ha almana achilta. But now almana would be mochel. Almana would be mochel because of the yisomim, like we said before in Rashi, that all the things, the nice things that they do for her. No, this case here, the answer is that when the Yisomim agree that they owe money to the Almana, that she had not received her payment yet, in such a case, even though there's no ksuba, even though there's no, the case of the Grusha is, so must be talking about a case that there's a ksuba and only a Grusha. Like Mar says, the ex-husband happens to be a nice guy. She says, no, I actually didn't pay the ksuba yet, and that's why she's able to still collect. And therefore, you cannot bring a riot to our situation of an amana holding on to ksuba. This is talking about a grusha without a ksuba. And therefore,
right,
no question.
All right. Same as the bank.
Exactly. Last line of the Amid, Gemara says, Amar of Nachman bar Yitzhak, Tani Rav Yehuda bar Kaza b'masnitza. He taught in the Brisa of the following halacha. The Bey bar Kaza, which is the same name of a chacham, says Rashi, Tava ksuvasa. So I guess his wife had claimed the ksuba from him. Right, that's the case here.
It's an almana.
But she's an almana. Okay, maybe this is talking about, this is a halacha from Bar Kaza. He wasn't the person that, and talking about one of the players of the case here. So the case was an Amana claimed a ksuba within 25 years. Harehi kibitchila, Rashi says, Umona esrim shanim esrim chameshanim b'shastvia. The clock restarts itself when she makes a claim.
So you can take his time.
The question is, she can enforce him. She just starts her count in terms of Mechila. I want my money. He says, okay, I'll give it to you. So when she asks for the money, the 25 years start all over again. But once she takes him to court, he would have to pay. Im haya shtar ksuva. If she has a shtar ksuva, yot mitachas yada, gova ksuvasa. And if she has a ksuva, so ksuvasa liolam. She could collect it forever. So even though 25 years passed since she had restarted the clock,
this supports Rav.
This is how this supports Rav that it lasts forever, but it's qualifying Rav only if she had been Toveya at some point within the first 25 years.
Right.
The clock could last forever. So the Gemara says, Shalach le Rav Nachman bar Rav Chis le Rav Nachman bar Yaakov, Yilmedenu Rabbeinu, Rabbeinu Toras, Kishashar Ksuba Yotzim Mitachas Yada Machlokes, O Kishain Shar Ksuba Yotzim Mitachas Yada. So he was asking a question, he was inquiring. Did he teach this halacha when she had the shtar ksuba? Is that the machlokas? Or when she had no ksuba? What's is going on now?
It says, Zushi shana vishnat b'mishnateinu, shalmana hadarat b'beit aviyah nechleku b'ravim rachamim im govayt v'latalulam porak ad 25 shana, haim afilu kishak t'yatsa mitachit yada nimra machloket, o dafka kishayin shtar ktuba yatsa mitachit yada nimra machloket.
This is machlokas in the Mishnah.
In our Mishnah.
When Rabbi Meir and Chacham had the argument about 25 years versus Li'olam, was it referring to a case where they had a ksuba and still is a machlokas about 25 years? Or no, it was only machlokas without the ksuba. But with the ksuba, the implication would be that everyone would agree that you have the olam to collect. So the Gemara says that halacha kedivrei mi. And also, who do we passing like? What's the halacha? Shalach lei. So the response back was, b'she'en ishtar ksuba yotz mitachas yada machlokas. The whole discussion in our Mishnah was when there was no ksuba, is there machlokas 25 years versus the olam? If she's holding on to the ksuba, gove ksuba asaliolam, she could collect it forever. She has the right to collect it whenever she wants. V'halacha, kedivrei chacham passing that way, that if she has no ksuba, then she's living in the house of the baleha, she could collect forever. If she's living in the Beis Aviyah, she could collect for 25 years. But if she does have the ksuba in her hand, she could collect forever, even if she's living the Beis Aviyah.
Are we saying, when it says Yotzei Meyadea, is it that she deposits the ksuba in Beis Din, or that she just, whenever she wants, she can pull up the ksuba and she can collect? Which is,
I think that she, whenever she pulls out the ksuba, says, here's my ksuba.
That's it, she goes to Beis Din, yeah. And she says, this is my ksuba, and I get it.
I think so, yeah.
She doesn't have to present it to Beis Din before.
I mean, before the 25 years begin,
yeah,
even?
No, right?
I don't think so. My understanding is that she just pulls it out whenever she wants it. Kiyasa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came,
again, he comes back a lot, right?
He's still a lot of stuff, right? Yeah. Kiyasa Rav Dimi, Amar Bishimon ben Pazi, Amar Yeshua ben Levi, Mishim bar Kapara. He taught us the following halacha. Loshanu elamana masayim. This whole discussion in the Mishnah is only referring to the 100. Or the 200 of the base amount on the ksuba that we talk about. The 25 years is a mechila. Aval, when it comes to tosefes, the added amount that the husband had put onto the ksuba, yesha, she would get it. And Rashi explains why, because this is the tosefes is considered a matana and it's not part of the ksuba. That matana never expires at all. Sounds like even if there's no shtar. So I'm not sure how well the proof is for that. Let's see. Rabbi Yebohu, Amar Yochanan, Rabbi Yebohu quotes from Rabbi Yochanan. It says, "Afilu Tosefes ain't la not true." The Tosefes also is going to have the same halacha as the ksuba itself. The Amar Rabbi Aivo, Amar Rabbi Yanai, Tanai ksuba ki ksuba dami. Any Tanai, anything added onto it, in this case the Tosefes, is considered as part of the ksuba itself. So just like the ksuba expires after 25 years, the Tosefes also takes on that same expiration date. Then the Gemara says, "Itmar Nami." We have a statement that says similar to this: that Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Huna, Amar Rav Lo Shanu Ela Mana Masayim of Al Tosefes Yeshla. That they say that no, only the expiration only applies to the first mana or 200, but the Tosefes exists. Amar Le Rabbi Abba and Rav Huna, Amar Rav Hachi, Amar Le. Say Amar Rav Hachi. Did Rav say this? Amar Le Ishtik Kamris, O Ishkayin Kamris. So what's this Shaila here? So Rashi explains, Ishtik Kamris, O Ishkayin Kamris, Hayad Dimitamas, V'Amr, that which you wondered about, V'Amris, Amar Rav Hach, you asked if Rav actually said this, Mishim Delo Sfilachahu, Ulashtika Kamris, because he didn't say this and you're trying to quiet us. Did Rav really say this? You're trying to silence us? O Mishim Dechaviv Alecha, because Rav is so chaviv to you, or maybe the statement is so chaviv to you, Ulashkayin Kamris, the Amar Rav Mashkis Li Chamer the Shaper Amar. You want to drink to that Rav said this as well. Were you trying to silence us? Rav never said this? Or were you trying to really find out whether Rav really did say this and you'll be in agreement to this? That was the Shiloh. And Amalei Ishtikin Kamina, in terms of trying to quiet you, that Rav never actually said this, so don't say this in his name.
But I don't understand. The case here is that she got an extra money in the ksuba, right? Mm-hmm. And in the case that she doesn't have a ksuva, how did they have aiding or what?
That's what I wondered also. I think Tosos on the top is addressing that point. Look at Tosos, the top one. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Lo shana el mana masayim aval tosev es yeshla. The expiration date only applies to the first, the base amount, but the additional amount does not have the expiration applied to it. So ask Tosos, Tema. Im kena mai kama Rav le'el lo shana el kishen shark suva yotzim mitachas yada. Aval shark suva yotzim mitachas yada, go ksuva sidolam. Umai rayahi mishim shark suva halva eno gova bala Rav. So if you're talking, seemingly we're talking about a case of a ksuva. Because without ksuva, there's no rab.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about a case of ksuva, so what's the shaila here? We're saying that only you could only collect the tosefes beyond 25 years, but you can't collect the base after 25 years. So what raya does a ksuva serve?
Right. So how could Rav say that she doesn't collect? If according to everybody, they collect when they start, they collect.
Exactly. So Tosa doesn't have an answer. So I had the same problem. Tosa asks, you have the same problem. So I'm not really sure how the Maisa had to explain this. But Tosa didn't either, so it puts us in good company. But we still don't have an answer. Okay, the Gemara now says, Chamse de Rav Chia Aricha. The Chamse, the mother-in-law of Rav Chia, her name was Aricha, I guess. Right? Okay. Intas Achuya Have. Her name was Aricha. This was his mother-in-law. Rav Chia Aricha. Ah, okay. Rav Chia Aricha. So the mother-in-law of Rav Chia Aricha was the wife of Rav Chia's brother. Okay. Let's try to get this.
Yivamu,
exactly. So Rav Chia had a brother. Brother's much older brother. And Rav Chia's wife... So had a daughter from a previous marriage, who ended up marrying Rav Chia's younger brother.
Right.
Rav Chia himself.
So Rav Chia's wife was married, she had a daughter, then she married...
Rav Chia's brother.
Rav Chia's brother's wife.
Wife. Had a daughter.
Had a daughter with another husband. And then she married Rav Chia's brother.
Exactly.
And then Rav Chia married that daughter from the previous husband.
Exactly, right.
Okay.
So end up being, so Rav Chia's mother-in-law was the wife of his brother.
Right.
Okay. V'almana b'beis aviyah haba. And...
So Rav Chia's brother died.
So Rav Chia's brother died, okay. So now Rav Chia was the yorish of his brother. He had no children. V'almana b'beis aviyah haba. His widow, Rav Chia's brother's widow, who happened to be his own mother-in-law, was staying in the house of her father. Vizana Rav Chia was feeding his own mother-in-law, who was also his sister-in-law. Esn Mechame Sharnam Beis Nasa was feeding for 25 years while she stayed in her father's house. Lasof, after 25 years ended, Amrilei, so his mother-in-law slash sister-in-law, says to Rav Chia Aricha, Havli Mizone, feed me more. Amalei, Rav Chia says, "Less lecha mozone. You have no rights to collect from me anymore. I paid my dues."
Nice.
So, this, by the way, another great mother-in-law, Gemara.
Sorry, right.
Yeah, there are a few of them in the Gemara.
You should take notes.
Take notes. So the Gemara says, "Havli ksuva." So she says, "Give me my ksuva. Pay me back the ksuva, at least." Amalei, lo mozone is lecha, lo ksuva is lecha. I don't owe you money anymore. I don't owe you mozones. I don't owe you the ksuva anymore either. 25 years came. If you learn Mishnahs and ksuvas.
And you lived in your mother's
house. Right, you lived in your father's house. So since we're passing like chachamim, the 25 years in your father's house not claim the ksuva, you've lost out. So she was very upset at him. Tavaiti ladina. She took her son-in-law slash brother-in-law to Bezdin, Kamed Rabba Bar Shila. So Amalei, Rabba Bar Shila says to Rabbi Chia, aim only easy. Tell me the details of all the whole case. I want to hear everything from beginning to end. So Amalei, so he explains to the dying Rabbi Bar Shila, Zinsei Esim V'chamesh Shanim B'vei Nasa. I supported her for 25 years. My own mother-in-law did that. B'chai Demar B'kasvei Amtula. I promised that I will bring Mizonos all those years because of her kavod. So Amalei, so Rabbi Bar Shila says to Rabbi Chia now, Taima Mai Amar Rabbanon. Why do the Chachamim say, Kozman Shiba Beis Baila Gova Ksuba Sel Yolam? Why do they say that if she lives in the house of her husband, she has the right to collect it forever? Damrina Mishum Kisufa Hudulotava, because she would be embarrassed to collect the Ksuba. She's living in her husband's house, and all these homeless are supporting her and doing the favors, and she's embarrassed to ask for a couple extra bucks. Hachanami Mishum Kisufa Hudulotava. Here too, the same case. She was too embarrassed to ask for the Ksuba. So the fact that she didn't ask wasn't an expression of Mechila by any means, it was just her embarrassment. Why is she embarrassed here?
Because you personally bought it.
You were too nice of a guy. You wanted to go see your mother-in-law every single day. So you said to her, you spoke to her, you schmoozed with her. And now she feels she's embarrassed to ask for the ksuba from you. So zil havle, so go out and Reb Chiya, I'm sorry to say, you owe her the ksuba. Lo ashkech, Reb Chiya was not listening to Reb Chiya, Rabbi Bar Shila rather. So kasev la, so Rabbi Bar Shila wrote to the almana, to his mother-in-law / sister-in-law, adarchte anichse, a document that she has the right to go ahead and confiscate the property of Reb Chiya to collect her ksuba. Okay, so it gets messy sometimes. Even with Rabbanim, like Reb Chiya, things get messy, family feuds.
It's a bad combination, the mother-in-law and the sister-in-law all at once.
Right. You know what the Sfarim say about the mother-in-law relationships.
Yeah, you said it with the Chabban, right?
Yeah, Chabban says this, yeah.
I found that very interesting.
It's very interesting. You never find, this is different, this is son-in-law and mother-in-law. But there's never in Chumash, when you have all the imals and the Avos and Imals, never did the mother-in-law and sister-in-law, they never met each other. In no case. Sarah died before Yitzchak married Rivka. And Yaakov went away to marry Rachel and Leah. She wasn't home. By the time they ended up going back, Rivka already died. So the mother-in-law has never met the sister-in-law. So since there's... Exactly. So since there's never a relationship of that in the Torah, so it passed on, there's never a relationship like that in
that's
reality.
Why, that's why the first Adam Rishon lived for so long.
Okay. Oh, my mother-in-law's not listening to this. I don't imagine she is. Okay. Says the Gemara. Oh, so the Kamei de Rava. So Reb Chiya now went to Rava. Maybe he wanted to overrule this. So Amar Le, so he says to them, Chazi Mar Heichen Danin, did you see how Rabbi Bar Shila, what the psak he gave? Do you believe that? So Amar Le, Rava says, Shapir Danech, what do you mean? He gave the right psak. Amar Le, so the Amana says to Rava, she went to Rava also, I guess, I hachi lezo lahadir li peri demin ahau yoma ad hayna. So if since I won, so I should also be able to collect all the fruits that could have gotten. The karka that he owes me, and he's not giving me
interest,
this past. I want all the fruit. I'm losing out on as well. She's asking for more money now. So Amar Le, Rava says, Achvi Le Adarchtech, show me your shtar adarchtech, that you have the right to collect, to confiscate the land. Chazia de lo hava kasabe. He saw that it didn't write on it, wasn't written on it. Vishimodona de nichsim elo de misne ine. So Rava noticed that it doesn't say on this what the other dynamo used to write, that that the property of the mace is going to be nishtabe to her in the ksuba. Amar la, so Rava says, Salmana adrachta lav shapir ksive. It wasn't written properly. I mean, the psak was correct, yeah.
They are asking for the psak or the ksuba, the original ksuba.
Not the ksuba, I think the shtar adarchte that Rav Bar Shila gave her this adarchte, which is, I think, I'm not sure what the term is, but a document to confiscate the land.
The document of seizure.
Seizure, okay. So the document of seizure was given that Rav Bar Shila had put together, but Rav noticed it was incorrectly written. It wasn't, so she actually did not have the right, she was given the right psak, but the document wasn't a good document to go and collect the land. So Amri Lai, so she says, the Amana says to Rava now, Tizil Adarchte, Ishkel Miyoma Deshlema Yoma Echarsta Ad Hashta. So let this document what do you say it was again?
Seizure.
So let it go. It wasn't right properly. Let it take care of it. But at least let him pay me all the fruit that I was supposed to get from my ksuba. So let him pay in peros, I guess. So Amar Le, Rava says, "Hani mila hecha delo ksiv teusa b'adarchte." That's only when there's no mistake. Do you have the right to collect the fruit from the time that you were supposed to collect it till now? Aval hecha de ksiv teusa b'adarchte less than but you have a false document, or not false, but an incorrect document.
But I said, what is she claiming? He's claiming the peros from. He's telling she should give him the peros of the karka, or she's.
She wants the fruit of the karka. The karka, I believe, that she was supposed to collect her ksuban. Right? Rabbi Bar Shila gave, here's your document. Go collect the ksuban.
Ah, because she had karka to collect the ksuba, and he ate the pears of that karka.
Exactly. So she wanted those pears. That was mine, she said.
Right.
Rabbi says, you're right, if the adarchta is written properly.
Isn't the pears against mezonote, and she got mezonos?
She had mezonos. Mezonos is done with now. 25 years expired. He's done with paying mezonos. But now okay. She wants her ksuba.
Got into fight.
No, okay, but so she says... Ah, so she,
he's delaying paying, giving her the karka. So she says, not only do you owe me the karka, what about the food you've been eating over the last month?
But that food was against Mezonot, which he did
no,
give her.
No, that was because she owned the land. Now that's her land for Ksuba. It's all her.
Right.
It's supposed to be hers.
Yes.
The land plus any of the fruit that the land's going to produce.
In the meantime,
no, but the past goes against the Mezonos. She has nothing to claim because till today
no,
she got paid.
January 1st, she's supposed to collect the ksuba.
Right.
Rabbi Chiya says no. So okay. Rabbi Bar Shiva writes a document: collect the, go confiscate the land on January 1st.
Right.
He's not giving the land up, so it's now March 1st.
So she wants from January to March.
Exactly. From that
okay.
fruit, from that land that she's supposed to be getting.
Okay.
That's her land.
Okay.
So Rabbi says, you're right, you should be getting that, but the problem is your document was written incorrectly, so you have no right to claim those peros. So I'm relay. So then she says to Rava, Vaha Marhu Damar Acharayos Tal Soferu. So she was a learned individual. She says, wait a minute. Again. I know that, don't we say, if the Acharayos wasn't written in the Shtar, it's a mistake, but it really should be there, and we have to assume that it's really there. So he does owe me the peros. So Amalei Rabba says to her, "Behal lekel meimar telesofer." The behal filu Rabba bar Shila tay ma'ikara. This you can't claim a mistake, because because Rabba apparently, I'm not sure the nature of the mistake, but he made a much bigger mistake than this. The case is where it's only where if Basin says to the sofer, write this way, and the sofer makes the mistake. They didn't follow the commands, the orders of. But here, the Dain himself made the mistake, so we can't try to put in. The orders were given this way. And for those reasons, your document is mistaken. So the Gemara concludes, Hu saver hani vahani didei mali mahani mali mahani. Rabbi Shilo felt that he thought that the nechasim of the mace and the Nechasim Rabbi Chiya had the same halacha to them, that they're all considered the Nechasim Rabbi Chiya. And therefore, he wrote the Shara D'Achde, and it didn't make much of a difference which property he was collecting from. What's going on here? The word is attempting to explain why Rabbi Rashi has made such a mistake. Rashi not really explaining.
He considered that both the property that he inherited and his own property, it's all one.
It's been 25 years, so it's like it's all by
right.
It's all it's merged
all,
into
it's
one
all
thing.
Uh-huh.
So she shouldn't have to figure out which was really the inherited ones.
Uh-huh.
So she said you're entitled to a certain amount of field and take it from whatever he has.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to figure out which one was the really in the
which area. One was your husband's, the lien on the husband's, which one's Rabbi Chiya's. Aha. Uh-huh. So he thought he just wrote it all together. And, Velohi, that's not true. Zimnin de Oslo, Meshabcha Lehu, de Baila Michsefe. Because certain times that the Amana might go ahead and collect the Sada and make it better. And the Sada of the husband, the Yorish won't be Mashpiach. The Yorish knows which one. The Rabbi Chiya knew which one was his brother's, which one was his own. And he wasn't going to take care of the property of his brothers because he knew it's possible down the line that his mother-in-law / sister-in-law will take that away. And it cannot be viewed all as one set of properties. Vamar La, so he says to her, Shakel didach v'havli didi. So in the end of the day, the Yorish says to her, go ahead and take, take your land and I'll take my land and just call it the end of the day. And they're going to come to Moti Lazan al Bezdin. So Rabbi Bashir has made the mistake of saying, just take whatever land you want. And then Rabbi Chiya is going to turn around and say, you took the wrong land. You took my land. You're supposed to take that land, which was the Yorish's land. So you can never view the properties of the inheritors and that which Rabbi Chiya is all as one.
But what was the claim? What did the
Hajjan Lach Hanou say?
What was the mistake that they did when he wrote the that star duch?